Hello and welcome to our online press conference. My name is Tom Pelton, and I'm Director of Communications at the Environmental Integrity Project. We are America's Environmental Watchdog, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that holds polluters and governments accountable to protect public health and the environment. Today, we are partnering with Rural Roots Louisiana and the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, as well as residents in Modeste, Louisiana, to critique a draft air pollution control permit for the proposed Hyundai steel plant proposed for Ascension Parish and the plant's likely pollution impact on the community. We will also discuss what we believe are questionable number games that the company played in applying for this permit. A public hearing on the permit for the plant will be held next week at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 1st, at the Lehman Memorial Center Gymnasium, 1100 Clay Street in Donaldsonville. You can find our fact sheet about pollution from the plant and problems with this permit on our website at environmentalintegrity.org. Today, we're going to have four speakers and then open it up to questions from reporters first and then local community members. Our speakers today will be Dr. Kimberly Terrell, research scientist with the Environmental Integrity Project Center for Applied Environmental Science, then Courtney Harris, program manager with Rural Roots Louisiana. Then Twyla Collins, a resident of Modeste, Louisiana, who lives right next to the proposed steel plant. And finally, Ann Rolfes, executive director of the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. Reporters, we'd love to get your questions. So as you listen to the presentations, please click on the Q&A button on the bottom of your screen and note your name and that you have a question. Then at the end, I'll unmute you and call on you. And also remember to unmute yourself on your own computer when I call on you. Also, please put your publication name when you say, I have a question, who you are, what publication you're from. After reporters ask their questions, I'm going to open up questions from the community. Again, click on the Q&A tab, indicate you have a question if you're a resident of the parish or if you represent one of the parties involved, such as Hyundai or the parish government or whatnot. So, first, we'll start off. Dr. Kim Terrell, research scientist at the Environmental Integrity Project, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to share the many problems with Hyundai's proposed 1,700-acre steel facility, as well as the associated air permit application. So, even though Hyundai has tried to sell this as a clean and green project, we know from their own numbers that this facility would be a major source of just about every type of pollution that the state regulates. So again, by its own numbers, Hyundai would be permitted to emit more than 100 tons per year of volatile organic compounds, nearly 200 tons per year of fine particulate matter, or PM2.5, over 300 tons per year of sulfur dioxide, and a massive 800 tons per year of nitrogen oxides. Each of these pollutants independently is known to cause respiratory problems. Many of them also cause additional health problems. So, for example, PM2.5 is well known to cause cardiovascular disease. Many of the volatile organic compounds that the facility would be permitted to emit are also toxic and can cause cancer and other health problems. So, the pollution burden from this facility would be significant. One of the biggest concerns that we have about this permit is the potential for the facility to significantly increase the amount of ozone in the area. And the reason for this is because of the large amount of nitrogen oxides that the facility would emit. So nitrogen oxides react in the air to form ozone. Ozone is a very harmful pollutant in terms of lung health. So ozone can directly damage lung tissue, and that's why the American Lung Association says that breathing ozone is like getting a sunburn directly on your lungs. In addition to those common pollutants, the Hyundai facility would be permitted to emit other chemicals that are toxic in very small amounts. So, metals like mercury, lead, chemicals like arsenic that are vastly more toxic than some of the more common pollutants. So, for example, mercury is 100 times more toxic than benzene. Arsenic is 2,000 times more toxic than benzene. Arsenic is known to cause lung cancer as well as bladder and skin cancer. And there's some evidence that it may also cause kidney, liver, and prostate cancer. Cadmium is 3,000 times more toxic than benzene and known to cause lung cancer. So again, it's this cumulative burden of all of these pollutants that Hyundai wants to emit, that's so concerning. And so we know that there is, regardless of the amount of emissions, we know that there is no safe level of exposure to lead or the 10 cancer-causing pollutants that are included in this permit. And again, while Hyundai has tried to sell this as a clean facility, when you look at these numbers, you realize that this plant is actually on par with other major industrial mega projects. So plants like Formosa Plastics, for example. We also know by Hyundai's own admission that the climate impact of this facility would be on par with that of Chalmette Refinery. So Hyundai, after all of its controls, estimates that it will emit 1.6 million tons of greenhouse gases per year, which is similar to Chalmette Refinery's 1.7 million tons. And again, this is a best case scenario. So this is if the carbon capture technology, which is unproven, actually works, and if all of their other pollution controls work the way that they think they will. But there is a potential that the situation could be even worse. So on page 5 of the permit materials, we see Hyundai say that the CO2 will be captured, quote, to the extent feasible, unquote. Who decides what's feasible? Is it a third party? Does Hyundai have control over this? Could they build the plant and on day one decide that it's not feasible to capture any carbon? Page 285 of the permit application references a quote, CCS bypass. That we assume means that they will have the built-in option to easily turn off the carbon capture system. And so these vague statements and these built-in loopholes in the permit application suggest that the climate impact is going to be even worse than what Hyundai admits. But the one thing that really makes this facility and this application stand out compared to all the other petrochemical activity in the area is the amount of mathematical shenanigans in this permit application. I have never seen a document with this many examples of data cherry picking. And so fundamentally, what Hyundai did is they used pollution and wind data from other parishes that are nowhere near their proposed site in order to portray a scenario where the pollution level in Ascension Parish with this plant operating would be just below the legal limits. And so they didn't adhere to the gold standard approach, which is what other applicants are held to, where you use the most local and most representative pollution and wind data when you're estimating what the air quality would be if your proposed facility were to operate. And so there's three key pieces of estimating air quality. One, you have to know the current level of pollution. Two, you have to know how much your plant would emit. And then three, you have to know the direction and speed of the wind in the area. Hyundai manipulated or gamed the system with all three pieces of this analysis. So the most egregious, I think, and kind of the most obvious issue is their characterization of the current level of ozone around the proposed site. And so I'm going to share my screen to illustrate exactly what the issue is here. So DEQ operates many air monitors in the area for ozone. And, you know, the gold standard would be for Hyundai to use the ozone number from the closest monitor to its proposed site. And I've created a map of these monitors to kind of illustrate the point. So the approximate boundaries of Hyundai's proposed facility are shown in dark red. And each ozone monitoring location in the area is an orange circle on this map. And so Hyundai's estimated that its facility would contribute a little more than 2 parts per billion, or ppb, of ozone to the local air. And to figure out what the current level of ozone is, they could have used the number from the Carville monitor, which is 74 parts per billion, or they could have used the number from the Dutchtown monitor, which is 68 parts per billion. But instead, they went 20 miles downriver to a unindustrialized stretch of St. James Parish, and used the ozone number from the courthouse monitor on the East Bank, which is 65. And if I just gave you these numbers, you could probably guess what the ozone threshold is, what the legal limit or the National Ambient Air Quality Standard is. It's 70 parts per billion. So you can see why Hyundai went all the way to Convent and used that ozone number, because the 65 plus their estimated 2.1 keeps them below that 70 parts per billion limit. When in reality, if what we care about is accurately characterizing the current state of ozone pollution around Hyundai's site, obviously they should be using data from the Carville or the Dutchtown monitor. And if you look at LDEQ's ambient air monitoring plan, they say that the Carville monitor, that the purpose of that monitor is to estimate background concentrations of ozone for the region. So that, from a technical perspective, that's the number to use. Whereas the Convent site, in addition to being 20 miles away, the purpose of that site, according to DEQ, is to estimate ozone concentrations at the neighborhood scale, which is a much smaller scale. And so it's only representative of that immediate area for a few miles in any direction. So how could Hyundai possibly justify using a monitor that's 20 miles away? Well, they said that it's on the same side of the river as their facility, the West Bank, and that it's in an area that is generally similar to where their facility would be. So I think you can look at this map and pretty easily determine that it is not, in fact, on the same side of the river. The consultant or whoever did that analysis for Hyundai got that fact wrong. They thought that that monitor was actually collecting data from the St. James site during this period. And I can, follow up and go into more detail on that. But the point is that whoever did this analysis, whatever state or country they're sitting in, they don't have a good understanding of the local landscape, right? Anybody from this area knows where the Convent Courthouse is, knows where that ozone monitor is, and knows that that landscape looks nothing like the heavily industrialized area right around Hyundai's proposed facility. And so the other big issue with ozone here is that not only did Hyundai downplay the current level of ozone pollution, they ignored the ongoing development that's happening around them. So two very nearby facilities were recently permitted. Ascension Clean Energy was permitted last October, and CF Blue Point was permitted in early July of this year. Between those two facilities, we're talking about another 500 tons per year of nitrogen oxides on top of the 800 tons per year that Hyundai would emit. And again, nitrogen oxides not only cause respiratory problems themselves, but they contribute to the formation of ozone. So we see this happen in Louisiana, where there's this rush of industrial development, and all these permits are pending at the same time, and they don't account for the other facilities. But in this case, we're talking about two facilities that have already received their permits. And so Hyundai should have accounted for both of them, Ascension Clean Energy and CF Blue Point. And the one reason why ozone is such a concern in this instance is because it's a very unusual pollutant, or it's different from other pollutants in that it's a regional pollutant. So ozone doesn't come directly out of a smokestack or a tailpipe. Instead, it's formed in the air from mixtures of pollution in the presence of heat and sunlight. And so ozone is kind of forming on the go, right? As the wind is blowing pollutants across the landscape. And so that's why it travels farther. It impacts residents across a much larger area. It's more of a regional pollutant than things like arsenic or lead, which are only going to travel so far and come directly out of the facility. And so in this map, we can see that there's major, heavily populated areas not far from the facility, where, for example, in Gonzales, where there's 13,000 people just 5 miles from the proposed site. And we know that Ascension Parish has had issues with ozone in the past. So for decades, the level of ozone in Ascension Parish was above EPA's National Ambient Air Quality Standard, above its legal limit. And it wasn't until 2017 that EPA said, okay, the levels have finally come down enough that they are below that threshold. So that's an important backstory here because we have a plant that's painting itself as clean and green that in reality is poised to push Ascension Parish over this important health threshold. And then I want to kind of wrap up with the very local impacts. So the other big way that Hyundai kind of gamed the system is they used weather data from the New Orleans airport instead of the Baton Rouge airport, which is what they originally said they would do. And they didn't provide any justification whatsoever for this move. So we can only surmise that the reason that they did that was to get the pollution numbers where they needed to be. In New Orleans, we have a strong southwest wind that comes from the Gulf, and you have a completely different wind pattern in Ascension Parish because it's more inland, it's more removed from the Gulf. You get more, north and south winds and not that strong southeast wind. So we suspect that if Hyundai had used the proper wind data, they would be above those pollution thresholds because they're so close to them as it is. So, for example, when they modeled their nitrogen dioxide pollution, the legal limit, the standard for hourly concentrations is 188. They came in at 187.9. So, again, all these assumptions, all this cherry picking to paint a scenario where you're just barely complying with legal limits. And so I want to just wrap up by talking about the existing burden in this community. So this is kind of the same map, but it's overlaid toxicity values when you consider all the toxic air pollution that is emitted based on self-reported data in this area from EPA's risk screening environmental indicators database. So kind of the darker pink areas are places where you have the top 0.1% most toxic air in the country. And then kind of the more orange shading is the top 1%, the yellow shading is the top 5%. And so the take-home message here is that this entire area has a significant burden of toxic air pollution by national standards. But we also should keep in mind that the community of Modeste and the area right around Hyundai's proposed site, that air is 10 times more toxic, right? So you have these hot spots within these hot spots. And so it's both the local burden and the regional impact that we want to keep in mind here. I think it's easy for foreign investors not to understand our local pollution burden because they don't see it, they don't smell it, they don't taste it. But at the end of the day, a green project should not put people at risk of exposure to things like arsenic, lead, mercury, and ozone. So thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to share this information.
Thank you. That was Dr. Kim Terrell, research scientist with the Environmental Integrity Project. Reporters, we'd love to get your questions as we go along. Remember to click on the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen, indicate that you have a question and your name and publication, and then I'll call on you at the end and let you ask your question. Our next speaker is Courtney Harris, program manager with Rural Roots Louisiana. Go ahead, Courtney.
Okay, thank you for that introduction, Tom. So, good morning, everyone. As Tom stated, my name is Courtney Harris. I am the program manager for Rural Roots Louisiana. I'm here today not only as an advocate, but as someone whose life has been shaped by growing up in what area is known as Cancer Alley. For me, it's not only about permit applications or another industrial project. It's about protecting the families, specifically the children who call this community home. As advocates for this community, we believe every child deserves the opportunity to grow up healthy, to play outside without their parents worrying about the unnecessary pollutants, and to have the same chance at a long, healthy life as any other child in the country. We understand the importance of creating jobs and strengthening Louisiana's economy, but we believe true progress should never come at the expense of the health and safety and future of the people who have called Modest and West Ascension Parish home for generations. Development should improve our communities, not leave families wondering what the long-term cost will be to their children. This issue is deeply personal to me. As a child growing up in Cancer Alley, I suffered from severe asthma that often made it difficult just to be a kid. I also dealt with unusual skin conditions caused by severe allergies that doctors believe were triggered by environmental factors. While no one can point to one single source and say with certainty what caused my illnesses, those experiences stayed with me and shaped how I see the world today. They are part of the reason why I choose to advocate for communities like Donaldsonville and Modest. Our founder and president, Ashley Gagnon, has a story that is just as personal. Ashley is a breast cancer survivor. All three of her children were born underweight and faced medical challenges from the beginning of their lives. Her son, he suffered from severe asthma as well. It was so severe that he wasn't allowed to participate in recess with his classmates because even ordinary physical activity could trigger an asthma attack. Imagine being that child, watching your friends laugh and play while you're forced to sit on the sidelines because you can't breathe. Imagine being the parent who has to tell your child they can't join in because you're afraid for their life. No parent should have to make that choice. The pollutants proposed in this permit are all pollutants that health authorities recognize can affect the respiratory system, with children and people with asthma being especially vulnerable. Fine particulate matter can penetrate deep into the lungs. Sulfur dioxide can make breathing more difficult for people with asthma. And nitrogen dioxide has been associated with respiratory illness and increased asthma symptoms. Lead exposure is especially concerning because children's brains and nervous systems are still developing. When I walk out to the mailbox in my community, I don't see statistics. I see children walking from the bus stop, younger children playing after school, and I hear the older kids visioning and describing their futures. I talk to the parents who simply want to know their children can grow up healthy and fulfill those dreams. I see grandparents hoping to watch those children graduate, get married, and raise families of their own. Those are people who will live with the consequences of this decision being made today. My own family has experienced more loss than any family should have to endure. I lost my father to cancer. I have also lost several other close family members to cancer. I understand that cancer is a complex disease with many possible causes, and I would never claim to know the exact reason why each person fell ill to this horrible disease. But when you grow up surrounded by heavy industry, when you've battled severe asthma, environmental allergies, and environmental allergies yourself, when your family has experienced repeated loss to cancer, and when you continue to watch a community face these same struggles generation after generation, it's only natural to ask, are we really expected to believe this is all just a coincidence? That question deserves thoughtful consideration, honest science, and permitting processes that earn the public's trust. At Rural Roots Louisiana, we are not asking for special treatment. We are asking for the same thing every decent parent across the globe wants for their child: the chance to breathe clean air, grow up healthy, and live long enough to see their dreams become reality. Our children are not statistics. They are our treasures, our futures, and reason why we fight. And they deserve leaders who will fight just as hard to protect their health as they do to attract new industry. If we can invest billions of dollars into toxic industry, then surely we can invest in the children who call Louisiana home. That's not asking for too much. That's only asking for justice. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Courtney Harris with Rural Roots Louisiana. Next, we'll have Twyla Collins, a resident of Modesto, Louisiana, who lives right next to the proposed steel plant. Go ahead, Twyla. Unmute yourself. Remember to unmute yourself. There you go.
Thanks,
Okay.
Tom, for the great introduction. My name is Swala Collins, and I'm a resident of Modesto. I have been living here all of my life. I had a child that died at the age of 9 from an asthma attack. I was also a battle with cancer, and my mother also had cancer and died from breast cancer. As a resident, we don't want economic development to come at the expenses of the community. Our family land, property rights, or the health and quality of life of the people that's already living here. We have great concerns, generational land being placed at risk, residents being pressured into relocating or selling their land, industrial facilities being placed near an established rural community. We don't want to have the problems with our water, air, flooding, drainage, traffic, and environmental impacts to our community. The cumulative effect of an additional heavy industrial in an area that's already heavily being polluted by industrials across the river from us. Whether the residents are given enough information and meaningful opportunity to participate in decisions affecting our community and homes. The use of confidential, non-closure disagreements surrounding economic development, meeting, development, and negotiations. As a resident of Modesto, I am deeply concerned about the speed in which they are allowing these permits to take place for these projects. I feel like the permits, roads, infrastructure, and approvals are being pushed forward to accommodate the companies while the residents who live here are being asked to catch up afterward. We elected our officials to do right by us, and now they are signing non-closure disagreements where they cannot even speak to us about what's going on in our community. We have had several accidents with overturned 18-wheelers, even one recently 3 weeks ago that hit a school bus mirror while our children were on the bus on their way home. This is the kind of things that we are concerned about, especially in this community where we are used to being quiet in a quiet neighborhood. With a lot of peace. Right now, our lives are being disrupted by all the infrastructure, all the noise that we're hearing from the projects that they're proposing to come to the area. This land we live on is sacred land, not only because of the history, because of memories that we have made here. We have had so much that we can talk about. From the area where I am living today, that we're so hurt to find out the way we found out about the industrial mega complex is through news media, not our official elected officials who we trusted to come to us, because when they were being elected, they came to us for our help. Now we need their help. They're nowhere to be found. They're just not being transparent enough with the people who elected them to speak on our behalf.
All right. Thanks very much. That was Twyla Collins of Modesto, Louisiana. Our final speaker is Anne Rolfes, Executive Director of the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. Reporters, as you listen to Anne, we'd love to get your questions. Go into the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen, type in your name that you have a question, your publication, and then we'll call on you after Anne is done speaking. Anne Rolfes, Executive Director, Louisiana Bucket Brigade, go ahead.
To everybody in this press conference, and including the people who are from Ascension and from Louisiana, or people around the country who are concerned, we need you to be involved in this permitting process because we're concerned that the process is itself corrupt. And I have a couple of examples. The Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality is hosting this hearing for this permit on Tuesday, this Tuesday, September 1st. But that's not the only event happening next week. On Friday, Hyundai is actually holding a groundbreaking, and officials from the state and from Ascension Parish will be there cutting the ribbon or putting shovels in the ground to so-called celebrate the coming of this facility. But there's a little bit of a problem with that, and that is the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act requires a rigorous review of permits before they can be issued. But the groundbreaking is happening before the permit has even been issued. And so it has a feeling as if this air permit is assured that it is not the rigorous review as required by federal law, but is instead a rubber stamp. So it's this premature groundbreaking that is one example of corruption. And I have a second example, and that is direct from the White House with the announcement of Hyundai in March of 2025. I'm going to show y'all a video. For those who may not know, the man in the blue suit and yellow tie who laughs when Trump mentions permits is Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, and Trump is addressing Hyundai executives who are off camera. So I'm going to show y'all this video now.
And I have to tell you that if you have any trouble getting permits, which you won't, come see me. I'll get them for you immediately. All right? But you're not going to have any trouble. You know, we
And just to make sure you know what was said, I have the specifics of the quote here. And it is Trump told Hyundai executives, if you have any trouble getting your permits, which you won't, come see me. I'll help you, but you're not going to have any trouble. And he repeats that about 30 minutes later in this same event. So, because of this corruption, we really need public engagement in this permitting process. But the press conference, like the groundbreaking, which is very public, they're announcing Hyundai, very proud of it. It's in stark contrast, actually, to the reality in which the reality of the way in which this project has really been fomented within Ascension Parish. And I'm going to show you all a number here, and that is. Let's see. There we go. 23. Twyla referred to the non-disclosure agreements, and 23 have been signed between public officials and Louisiana Economic Development. I'll be referring to that agency. That's LED for short. That's the state agency that really leads this industrial destruction happening around our state. More NDAs have been signed about the projects in Ascension Parish, including Hyundai, than anywhere else in the state. So, as far as all of this is concerned, it has been top secret. An air of secrecy is a really important context to understand around this. And there are two other really important dynamics that we'd all like y'all to know about. One is the massive amounts of public money that is being given to Hyundai, which is a foreign corporation. I'm going to detail for you right now some of the money that's going to Hyundai as detailed in what is called the CEA, that's the Cooperative Endeavor Agreement that was established between Hyundai and Louisiana Economic Development. So, among the things that we, the taxpayers, are giving to a South Korean corporation is $200 million in what a Hyundai executive called free land and infrastructure. $100 million is going toward construction of their steel mill, and $91 million was used to buy the land on which the steel mill will sit. And again, that free land and infrastructure is what Hyundai is calling it. Now, the state committed, and this is again from the CEA, to engineer, design, and construct at no cost to Hyundai Highway 1, an improvement of Highway 1 plus a rail extension. And I'm just going to read to you from the document. The details on Highway 1 would be an overpass and other modifications, a two-way surface road for access to Hyundai from Highway 1, as well as an extension of the road. And the railway would be a rail extension to the site and a rail interchange loop. Clearly, this is all for the use of Hyundai, and I think we can all agree that we would like investment in our own infrastructure. I've been on the roads and in traffic in Ascension Parish, and that's what needs attention, certainly not Hyundai. Now, what's the dollar figure for this amount for this infrastructure? The CEA didn't detail it, but the Louisiana legislature did allocate over $200 million, $232 million. So you can see already we're at a tally of over $400 million of direct payments of taxpayer money, of our money to Hyundai. And finally, there's the age-old tax exemption that Louisiana loves to provide to big corporations like Hyundai. And in this case, they're getting over $1.2 billion in tax exemptions. Public money given to a foreign corporation. And all under the pretense that this is somehow going to be good for our economy. I think Kim and Twyla and Courtney detailed really well the ways in which this is actually pretty harmful. When you have sick people, that is destructive. That is certainly not economic development. But the reason that Louisiana and Governor Landry and others claim that it's so good is because of jobs. That's their only justification. So let's look into the jobs. Here's what they say. That it will create 1,400 direct jobs with an average salary of $95,000. This is reporting after the White House announcement in March of 2025. This particular quote is from a Shreveport outlet, but Reuters reported this. Outlets all over the country reported this. Now, this I think it'd be highly debatable if these jobs were actually provided. Is it worth $1.2 billion of tax exemptions? Is it worth giving them 400? $23 million. Is it worth it? But the problem is that they don't even provide this many jobs, or they're not expected to verify it. In 2020, the Louisiana legislative auditor conducted an audit of the Louisiana Quality Jobs Program. This is the program that LED, remember, Louisiana Economic Development, uses to incentivize giant destructive corporations like Hyundai coming into the state. And they say, we'll do certain things for you if you provide jobs. The problem is there is absolutely no audit process. So Hyundai can say that they're going to provide 1,400 jobs, and then years later, there's zero follow-up. And what the legislative auditor found in this report is that the program is a net loss for the state treasury. Now, we weren't able to find any information about LED having acted on the advice and suggestions of the Louisiana legislative auditor. Still, it's concerning, and yet we have even more information from a very similar project that happened in neighboring Ascension, in neighboring St. James Parish. So, for those of you who may not be familiar with the area, this is the area along the Mississippi River. It's actually a beautiful area that's now become Cancer Alley. Ascension Parish, where my cursor is the proposed site of Hyundai Steel. And we have the most amazing comparison because in St. James Parish in 2011, there was a groundbreaking very similar to the one that's going to happen next week. Groundbroken for Nucor Steel Plant in Louisiana, March 2011. Nucor project will result in more than 1,250 direct jobs, 75,000 per year. And much like Governor Landry, the governor of those days, Governor Jindal, was crowing about jobs. I'm thrilled to join Nucor and local officials for this huge new job-creating program, said Governor Jindal. Now, this is interesting, and you got to wonder what happened, but how can we find out when LED does absolutely no audit, no verification to compare the promises with what's delivered? The good news is we have other sources, and that's the St. James Parish government. Had an annual comprehensive financial report for the year ended December 2024. Now, Nucor Steel broke ground in 2011, began operating in 2013. And so this is a really great sample because it's 11 years into the operation of the steel plant. And I want to be super clear, it's the same geography, it's a steel plant, massive amounts of money to Nucor.
All right. Then we have Hyundai. It's a steel plant receiving massive amounts of money. Hyundai is saying they will create 1,400 jobs. Nucor said they would create 1,250 jobs. And what did they create? 270. This is from a list of the employers in St. James Parish, and 14 years after starting, they had created 270 jobs. There's no penalty to Nucor for this. They don't have to give any of the public back. They just made up a number, much like we suspect Hyundai is doing, and they don't have to deliver. I do want to compare this to the number one employer in St. James Parish, and I think this is true around our state, that usually the number one employer is the school system. What if we put that $400 million that we're throwing at Hyundai, what if we invested that in the school system instead, right? That's how you create jobs. You pay teachers more, you hire more people, and all that money goes directly to local people. That's what's good to our for our economy. We put out this report with Rural Roots early in last year, and it's about investing in us, invest in local people, invest in the school system. This report detailed 100 local businesses that could be invested in that would have a lot better impact than Hyundai would. We need y'all to come to the hearing because of all the problems in this process. It's 6 o'clock on Tuesday, September 1st at the Lehman Center in Donaldsonville. If you have any questions about anything that's come up today, feel free to email us at info@labucketbrigade.org. And thank you for your time.